Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Speed and skill and slap shots and ice and skating and balance are all things that your kids need if they're going to play youth ice hockey. But it also ranks third in overall injuries among young athletes. My guest is Dr. Cody Moffitt. He's a member of the Executive Committee on the American Academy of Pediatrics Council on Sports Medicine and Fitness. Welcome to the show, Dr. Moffitt. So youth hockey, what are some of the most common injuries that you want parents to know about? And then what can we do to help our little players prevent them?
Absolutely. And the nice thing about hockey is they're, number one, well-protected and well-padded, probably better than any other sport. The most common injuries, thankfully, are, again, like with most youth sports, are usually minor, usually bruises, contusions, sprains and strains. But unfortunately, because of the speed involved, both of the players and hard surfaces all the way around, and pucks and sticks, we do see, again, sprains and strains as well as fractures and broken bones as well. And unfortunately, hockey is one of the sports that we see a high rate of concussions in.
Okay, so they're pretty padded up. As you said, they've got great equipment for the most part, but yet you're seeing a high rate of concussion. So the equipment doesn't necessarily protect your child from these types of injuries. So let's start with overuse injuries in our hockey players. What can we do to prevent some of the overuse injuries? You know, it's a very sport-specific training type of event, and they're doing it. They practice skating, you know. So what can we do for them to help with the overuse injuries, backs and groin injuries, things that might happen?
Exactly. And back and groin are probably the two areas where we see overuse injuries in hockey the most, that and shoulder sometimes. And like any overuse injury, it comes from doing the same thing over and over again, usually with poor mechanics. And in young people, we often see them not warm up properly and stretch well, especially before practice and after. And a lot of times they just want to get out there and play, and it's taking the extra few minutes to stretch, warm up, get ready to practice before they begin kind of the high-speed, real ballistic exercises that, again, over time create wear and tear even on young bodies, and they feel it.
So get them out there, have them skate around a bunch of times, really warm up, do some stretching exercises, you know, make sure that their back and their groin areas, even their shoulders, are nice and stretched out so that they don't, you know, subject themselves. Now, what about contact injuries? Because, boy, you run into the wall, you run into each other, you run into a stick. So there are contact injuries that are pretty severe as well, and how can we prevent those?
Well, again, good coaching, and the USA Hockey and Minnesota Hockey have made some changes over the years where we've basically taken checking and contact out of the game. There's an old saying in hockey where checking is trying to remove your opponent from the puck, not remove your opponent from the game. But again, we've taken that part of the contact and the intensity of that out of the younger age groups and have put it into the more advanced age groups, usually 13, 14 and up, where kids are a little more mature, a little more confident, and a little more in control of their bodies. And again, we've seen injury rates in youth hockey drop. The other part is, frankly, just good coaching and teaching young people where the real dangerous part of the ice is a few feet away from the boards, because if someone, again, gets hit in open ice or hit while they're in contact with the boards, again, usually most people won't get hurt. It's that impact from another player away from the boards, and that secondary impact hitting the boards is really where people get hurt, and especially if that hit comes from behind where somebody's defenseless and can't anticipate that contact that's coming.
So really, hockey players, if they're going to train for this sport, flexibility, strength, agility are some very important, and of course balance and the ability to skate and maintain that sometimes pretty high speed. I mean, it's a very high speed sport, Dr. Moffitt. So what about when you see other kids out there not following the rules? Because that's when you worry for your own child.
Exactly. And rule enforcement and really consistent officiating and consistent coaching is important. And it's just that universal tolerance of not putting up with dangerous play. And probably, again, the two most dangerous things in hockey are, again, getting hit from behind, especially near the boards, or any play where a skate is up and you've got a sharp edge that could cause injury anywhere. But those are the two things that really scare me as a doctor who takes care of hockey teams.
Well, I think that they would scare any parent who has a hockey player. And, you know, you see these kids and they get pretty into it, and some of them can be quite rough. You know, so do you step in and say to the coach, hey, that kid is really pushing and shoving and man, he's terrifying me.
The rules of the game cover that, as long as, again, the rules are followed, and when they're just like any sport. If there's a penalty, having the referees and coaches step in, I would say typically the referees of both the Minnesota Hockey Governance and the USA Hockey Governance do not tolerate what I'd call, you know, dirty play. It's still a like football. It's a physical sport, and it can be safe as long as it's as long as the competition is done within the context of the rules and the spirit of the game. But when you start to see the kind of cheap behavior, the pushing and the shoving, and maybe a slash with a stick behind the play, if the referee doesn't see it, I see several coaches all the time who will pull their own players off and bench them for a period, or not necessarily a whole period, but at least a few shifts to kind of drive home that point that that play is not going to be tolerated on their teams. And those are the coaches you really like to see, because what teaches a child more than anything is ice time. They just want to play, and if you restrict them from that, that'll modify their behavior pretty quickly.
Now, we only have a minute or so left. Dr. Moffitt, now you mentioned concussion as being one of the major, you know, things that you see when you do see injuries in hockey. Is there anything we can do to prevent this? I mean, they've got the mouth guards, they've got helmets with face masks. What else can we do?
Well, the protection's important, but you need to keep in mind mouth guards don't protect against concussions. They're important to protect against dental injuries. The helmets do a great job of protecting against things like skull fractures or what doctors call hematomas or bleeding on the brain, but we are a long way away from having the technology available to disperse the forces necessary to that induce concussions. So the best way to protect against concussion is avoid contact to the head.
And that's definitely something you want to do. Please wrap it up. Your best advice about injuries to youth hockey players, and really your best advice on preventing those injuries.
My best advice is treat it like athletics. Again, we come stretched, warmed up, prepared to practice and play, and follow the spirit of the game. Again, it's competitive, it's tough, but again, it's a lot of fun and teaches high-level speed, agility, contact, sportsmanship, and just overall athleticism.
Well, it certainly can be a great sport and a lot of fun for your little skaters. So just remember what Dr. Moffitt said in his advice about working with your kids and watching them play and making sure that they are well protected when they play this sport of hockey. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Healthy Children. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. This is Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.